You're listening to A Mighty Love, the podcast for honest and witty love wisdom.
Hello, listeners, and welcome back to the podcast. My name is Demetrius. And we are the A Mighty Love podcast. Yeah. Hey.
We're here to advise you on all your mighty loves.
Yes. Yes,
all your
we
loves,
are.
Mighty and small.
Mighty and small. I like that. So today, we're going to do a, I guess, shorter than usual episode, but...
Yeah, keep it snappy.
Yeah, keep it snappy. Today, we wanted to talk about relationships, specifically, how do you keep your relationship from fizzling? Mm. I have had more than one experience where a relationship has fizzled, and I think we'll touch on it again later, but I will say that it can feel so disheartening because you feel like, I found someone, like, all the odds are stacked against you when you feel like you can't find anyone. You finally find someone, you finally click with someone, you start dating them. You enter into a relationship and you're like, why is this just like failing for no big reason? You know, like it feels like, you know, if someone cheats, fine, get it. Big reason, I can leave. Someone's like, I'm in love with somebody else, cool. But something just sort of dissipates.
Right. You're like, ooh. And it's like trying to like grab onto the last day of summer. You're like, no, don't go. What happened?
I've never thought about it that way.
Yeah.
It's a relationship fizzling feels like August.
Yeah.
It feels
like no, school.
School's out.
It's always summer.
So what do you think, what do you think causes a relationship to start fizzling?
Well, it could be that, like, logistics can just be a problem. Like, speaking of summer, like, well, I'm going on vacation. Oh, then I'm going on vacation. Oh, then I have to go to a wedding. Like, you just can be so booked that it's really hard to even spend any time.
Yeah. I think that people... a lot of people have had a lot of successful long-term relationships. I know someone personally who had like this really, really long-term relationship and it worked out, but they are the exception. And there's a lot to say about a relationship's sustainability when being in a relationship means you want to have a certain amount of physical contact with a person. You might not want sex all the time. You might not even want sex ever, but you want to be around someone that you care about and you want to be in their presence. So yeah, no, just...
Typically, yeah.
Typically, anyway.
Yeah. I mean, there are definitely ways to overcome the problem of, like, just logistically not working it out. But it can be tough, especially because you are trying to fulfill that connection. And if you're a worrier, you can think, like, oh, gosh, they're, like, going on dates with someone else because I'm not around. Or, like, you know, you can be worried that there's another person.
That voice in your head.
Yeah, that voice in your head. Or, you know, even if you're not like, oh, they're going to meet someone else, like, I don't really have to worry about someone I'm seeing meeting someone else.
Yes. Yeah.
They're probably have met many other else's. It can still feel like they're distracted. They're going to, like, move on and go on new dates with other people.
Yeah.
They're not actually interested in, like, seeing where this goes with me.
Yeah. I've always felt that I was my own worst enemy in dating, especially when it came to... being unsure about the health of a relationship. So when I felt like even a tiny, tiny inkling that a relationship was fizzling, I always did the worst thing possible in that case where you sort of push the person away. Like, I feel like you're not as interested in seeing me and maybe you're in love with someone else. So the end. And not being, I guess, solution oriented, more like just problem oriented.
Just throwing the baby out with the bathwater.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no. Yeah. Because I'm dramatic. I'm very dramatic.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
That time we got into a screaming fight about a stick of gum in public. No, I'm kidding.
No.
That would be pretty amazing.
That would be amazing. That does sound like me.
In Times Square.
Oh, no. That doesn't sound like me. So in lieu of being like Demetrius and just going over the top when you feel like your relationship is fizzling, like, what would you recommend to not be terrible like I have been in the past?
Well, you know, I think an important thing to think about if logistics are a problem, you can be solution-oriented. Like, it might be that they actually just... aren't super excited about building something with
right,
you.
Right, of course.
And they're not putting in the energy. But it also might be that you both are anxious about, like, initiating non-traditional communication, like, heaven forbid, speaking on the phone. or like FaceTiming or something like that. But it's totally okay. I've put it out there to someone saying like, hey, I'm really sad I can't see you for a couple of weeks, and I know some people hate it, but if you want to chat on the phone next week, I would like it. And then, you know, if they're like, ooh, I'm not into it, I say, that's okay. Sometimes, early on, you a little bit have to adopt the easy breezy persona, even if maybe that's not exactly how you feel. I would say pretty much I've never been easy breezy about anything. not even a stick of gum in Times Square.
No.
But I think that letting things go and not getting too caught up in, like, creating a narrative around, like, a small event when you don't actually know the other person very well is, like, probably safe for your mental health.
Yeah. The thing that I did that if I could go back in time and undo and say, don't do this, was I would get that feeling or suspicion that we were fizzling and something was off, but rather than saying, I'm going to make up my own solution or I'm going to come up with a solution and do it and see what the results are, I would become confrontational about it. Like, I feel like you're becoming distant, which is something I said several times to several different people. And it never worked somehow. Accusing someone of being disinterested in you somehow doesn't make them more interested.
Putting someone on the defensive is usually not a great technique to draw them in.
Yeah, no. So my advice would be don't put people on the defensive. If you feel like people are becoming distant, if you feel like there's like the connection sort of lessening, it will not help you to confront them because they aren't doing anything wrong. They might not even be doing anything, period. You might just be playing everything out in your head. So
yeah, I mean, I think there's a way to invite someone to come closer without putting them on the defensive for not already having done it.
Yeah.
And like that's a better way. It's better to frame it as a request like, hey, I'd like to spend more time with you than like, I can tell you're pulling away.
Yes, yes, of course. I wish that young Demetrius had done that in the past, but I think that now young listeners or people who are, you could be older than me, that's fine. I don't want to shade anyone who's older, but I think that there
is... All the octogenarians who are listening to this, trying to figure out how they're going to get up the courage to talk to Gladys.
There we go. Yeah. Gladys is interested, you know. She's had her heart broken before, that's why she's a little distant. But,
sure, but, you know, give her a chance.
But
life is short.
You make a great point about turning something that it has the same intent, but if you word something confrontationally versus solution-oriented where you're saying, I'd like to spend more time with you, if you feel like someone's being distant, you still you want that too, but, you know, rather than going for the combative, you go for the solution.
Yes.
I like that.
One of the situations that I've found that works also is when I'm trying to make a gesture or a move with someone I don't know very well yet is that I will like write an initial text, not in the bubble because that's a bad idea because you could accidentally send it, but like write it out in the notes or like actually type it out by hand or type it out on the computer or write it by hand.
Do you have a typewriter?
Look at it. Yes, I have a typewriter. No, I type it on the computer or write it by hand and like look at it and think about it for a few hours and then like workshop it a little bit or like send it to a friend and say, what do you think about this? Because then sometimes that can help you take the edge off of it, or you can look at it again and be like, ooh, that's too strong.
Yeah.
Or that sounds like too angry or whatever it is.
One of my biggest regrets ever was sending, feeling like a relationship, and I'm using the term very loosely, was fizzling. So I sent like an email that was like a list of grievances. That didn't go well. I actually kept that email that I sent to the, I don't even speak to the person. I haven't spoken to that person in like 5 years. I kept that email to remind me like, chill out sometimes.
A list be cool. Of grievances.
It was more like, I feel like you're distant and this is the examples why.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my cat has opinions about this.
Agreed.
I don't really think that's a good idea.
It's a terrible idea.
It's not a good
idea. Don't do that.
I mean, that's the kind of thing that I think is totally acceptable to like rant to your friend over a beer and then forget about.
Yeah.
And
that's what it should be.
Not to keep in your envelope of evidence why you're a shithead.
Yeah, no. It ended up working out for me because I never did it after that. And every time I felt like I needed to like put in an email how I felt, I would go back to that email and say, no, you look like an asshole here.
Well, sometimes you gotta learn the lesson.
Before you get to the point where you're thinking, like, I need to address this issue, how do you prevent a relationship from fizzling?
Well, I mean, usually I am too active in this role, but I usually try to put energy into, like, keeping track of, like, when the last time we saw each other, who sent the last text. I keep too much track of this, but I hide it. Like, I'm a little over the top, and so I'm like, I need to act not insane so that they'll like me. And then later on, they can figure out I'm a little bit crazy, and then if they're still in, cool. But I kind of keep track of, like, who initiated the last time in terms of, like, hanging out, who initiated the last text. And, like, you want to make sure that you're not always initiating the conversation.
Yeah.
But, like, if they've initiated the last two, you're like, yeah, it's your turn. Like, you know, and I think also you don't always have to start a conversation like, what are your dreams? Because that's kind of a lot over text with someone you've only gone on, like, two or three dates with. But one thing you can do is you can always, like, send them something funny or cute you saw online, or, like, send them a picture of what you're up to, and, like, that kind of invites them to, like, keep the convo going without, like, being super over the top demanding their attention or, like, starting conversations that are probably not even good for text anyway.
Yeah, there is how you bond in a relationship requires a lot of sharing of personal information, sharing of experiences, mm-hmm. but there is a certain amount of value in being able to share lighthearted moments with someone. The bedrock of a relationship is going to be these really important, intense parts of your life, but most of a relationship is like, hey, did you see this weird meme? It's really funny, right? You know, like...
Yeah, I remember one of the things I used to do was I would occasionally, if I saw a really weird outfit, I would text it to someone and be like, man, I just saw someone wearing the craziest thing, and then describe it and then get a reaction out of them. And, like, I feel like that's a good way to connect. Right? Yeah. Like, I feel like this person went and robbed my closet when I was 10.
Yeah, that's awesome. I do a lot of, currently, with my girlfriend, we do a lot of meme sharing.
Like, that's a good one.
Yeah. Which is good. And it, you know, it just feels like you are communicating without having to have, like, a very serious talk. Like, I don't want to have a serious talk when I'm at work. I want to see a meme. Like, I just want to see a meme that you thought was funny and it reminded you of us. Like, that is what I want to see.
Some people are big on the sending pictures of food. That's not a thing for me, but if someone kept sending me pictures of their food, I'd be like, are you on a diet or not a diet or what's happening? But some people are really into it. So that is one way you can connect if you're both
into
food pics.
I think it's really all, it's that and or sending memes or sending, like, here's this weird outfit description.
Mm-hmm.
I think those all fall under the umbrella of having ongoing communication that isn't just about your relationship or just about, like, serious plans. There's a lot of value in just being like, this is something small that I want to share with you.
And
the small things, like, are most of what makes for a relationship.
A relationship is made up of a lot of small moments. I think also one thing I have done when, like, if I felt like we've missed each other a bunch, like, we've sent a bunch of memes, so, like, we haven't, like, really had a good connection, and, like, maybe a date isn't even necessarily on the books yet, which is also, like, a little, like, an uncomfortable place to be in, like, I want to see you again, but I don't want to seem too needy, but, you know, I've sent a text where I'm like, hey, do you have a few minutes to have, like, a text convo sometime in the next couple of days? Like, where it will be a back and forth conversation, not just, like, text, reply 3 hours later, reply 6 hours later. And I'll be like, it's nothing serious. Like, I just want to, like, catch
dedicate
up and
time.
Hear about what you're up to.
Yeah. Dedicating time to someone, whatever way you do it, will always bond you with them.
Yeah.
You know,
it's nice.
Friends, partners, relationship. The fact that you can dedicate, even something like that, I really like that idea. I've never considered doing that. It's such a, especially like if I have to travel for work, I'm like, this is when I'm going to text my girlfriend.
Yeah.
That's a great idea. I hate talking on the phone. So that's what I'm like, this
I
is.
I really hate it. Yeah. Fine.
I have always hated talking on the phone. Mm. My aunt will, like, whenever I see her, or whenever I speak to her on the phone, she's like, I'm sorry that you're talking, like, I appreciate you staying on the phone with me.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when you were a child and you hated it. I did want to say that one of the things I've learned in my relationship now is that one great way to keep sort of the fire, passion, whatever you want to call it, the opposite of fizzling, is putting in effort, not only in communicating and trying to spend time with them, but putting in effort in remembering things.
Yeah.
Putting in effort in making sure that things are evenly split with your partner, so they're not the only one who does cooking, cleaning, chore, like just putting in effort generally will be one of those things where to you it might feel like, oh, I'm just doing these tasks, but to them it might feel like this is somebody like giving me attention in a way that I value. Like, not just like, oh, you look pretty today. Like, you can say that, and eventually that gets old too, but when you can say, hey, I know that you are the one who always cooks, I decided to cook tonight for you, or, you know.
Yeah, I think that's nice. Or, like, saying, like, oh, I had a great idea, like, I'll come meet you after work at this bar right by your work, and then we'll go to dinner. Like making it easy for them, like, shows that you, like, were thinking about it, and that you care, and you came up with a plan. Like, that goes a long way, you know, especially, I don't know, I mean, it depends on where you're at in your, in the world or in the country, but, like, especially, like, in New York, like, you can start seeing someone and you are, like, not close and getting to each other is a huge pain in the ass, and, like, being, saying, like, I'll be the one that comes to you, like, I'll make it convenient for you means a lot.
Tangent, what's the longest distance from where you lived versus someone you were dating?
I was about to move closer, which is why I let it go on, but I was, like, an hour away, and I was...
By train or a car?
In a car.
In a car?
Yeah.
Hell no.
But I was about, I like, was about to move much closer to them and like had started a job closer to them. So I was already like driving like crazy anyway. So it wasn't, and like, there, it was like a month until I moved. So it was a very short term thing. I wouldn't have started a relationship being like, I live an hour away. This would be great forever.
I will say that I'm looking, the reason I asked is because when you mentioned like distance and like meeting someone, one of the examples I'm thinking of where something just fizzled out was someone who lived an hour away by train, and I'm 100% sure that was part of it, where I'm just like, this is too far.
It's too far.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think we have both alluded to it, that you have had a relationship fizzle. Yeah. I have also had a relationship fizzle. And I know how to make sure it happens, you know, like, you know,
how to ensure a fizzle?
Yeah. It's great. Just don't communicate. Don't put any effort.
Be a dick.
Have a fundamental misunderstanding about what dating that person means and what their relationship means and what they want.
Yeah.
Have you ever been able to recover? Ever?
No. Usually, I felt like the fizzle happens for a reason. I feel like usually the fizzle is because it's not a match. Partly it's because I am willing to do a lot of work to make something function. Like, if it's inconvenient, I will put in more work into the system. But I think at that point, if then it's still fizzling, I'm like it's not like I'm not trying hard enough. It's like they're not trying hard enough. And if they're not even willing to do, like, the less than half of the work it is required to keep this going, then they're not interested.
Yeah.
So, no, I have not been able to recover. But I think in all situations, it was for the best.
I have thought I've recovered. I would say that I have not always been someone who puts in a lot of effort.
Yeah.
So, sometimes it was just fizzling because I wasn't prioritizing someone. And then when I started to prioritize them, things sort of rebounded. Specifically, I'm thinking of someone who we weren't that serious, but we started getting more distant. And the reason that we were more distant was because I was dating other people and I just was spending less time with the person. And the solution was, I'm dating less people now and I have more time to spend with you. The reason that I'm so against like being confrontational is that every time that I defensively saw that something was fizzling and thought I could improve it was by being confrontational. So I think that that's how you don't repair it, but how you actually repair it really is effort, to your point. And if it's meant to be, then it's meant to be, but...
Yeah, I think that that's definitely true. I think that also things can fizzle out for a number of reasons that aren't about a match, but if you really like each other, you will sort of find a way to power through and reconnect. I rarely think that a beautiful relationship was just derailed by, you know, a long work trip or something.
Yeah.
Like, I think most people find a way to make it to like push through and come out on the other side if you really like each other. And I think a lot of the times it doesn't is because it's not really supposed to happen.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're not putting in the effort, like, be honest about yourself about how much effort you're putting in. And if you're not doing enough, you can do more. But if you're really putting in the effort, then the question is the other person not putting in the effort? And if so, is there a reason? Like, are they not putting in the effort because they're, like, super stressed out because of, like, some immediate deadline? Or are they not doing it because they just aren't that excited about it? Which is sad and hurts, but, like, better to cut it off than to, like, let it slowly fizzle. Because that's, for me, that's worse. I hate that. I'd rather just call it and be done.
The worst experience I had with a relationship fizzling was one where effort was misplaced. And I think that myself and probably a lot of people confuse passion and the intensity of emotion with actual intensity of effort. This was someone who I think we were fundamentally incompatible. And because of that reason, things began to fizzle early. And we both were stubborn and intense. Yeah. So whenever we would have a fight, it would be like, oh man, this... You clearly want to be with me because you're just so angry about everything. And I'm so angry. We clearly are meant for each other. And it really was just like a misplaced intensity of emotion. Mm. So I think that sometimes the effort can be there and it still fizzles. And you're just, if that's the case, then you're just not compatible. And it is really easy to confuse like intensity of emotion with intensity of trying and like trying to make it work.
It's true. There was a This American Life about this guy who, I can't even do the story justice. Basically, he was in another country and met this woman that he kind of liked, but they didn't have a chance to get together, and then he had to leave. Like, he was on maybe, like, a student exchange, and then left, and then he, like, came back a year later and, like, worked really hard to find her. Like, he moved back there for, not for her, for other reasons, but then was like, I am gonna find her, and like spent like a month like sussing out all the connections to find her, and he did find her, and it was like such this huge gesture. And so they started seeing each other, but there was like a huge language barrier because he didn't speak, I think this was in Japan, I might be remembering this story wrong, like he didn't speak very much Japanese, she didn't speak very much English, so, like, it was very hard for them to connect. And then when they finally did, they started, like, realizing, like, that they had attributed this intense love to just this intense effort. And they did stay together, but, like, realizing, like, oh, we still have to, like, connect in a normal way.
Yeah.
Just because you ran around Japan for a month trying to find me doesn't mean that we're in love.
Yeah,
necessarily.
No. That's a great point. Like, that's just rule of thumb. If someone takes a month to find you, they might be the one, but that doesn't mean that they are the one.
No, and it doesn't mean you don't still have to do all the normal stuff in a relationship, like figure out how to make it work and not murder each other.
I think that that's part of what happens when relationships start to fizzle is that people stop putting in the work. You know, they stop doing the small things, they stop doing big things, they stop trying altogether. And it's not about, I think it's never about, it's never just one thing. It's more, you stop doing this, you stop doing that, you stop trying here, you stop paying attention to me, you stop listening to me. We never, you know, do the things I want to do. It's really simple to say, like, the way to stop a relationship from fizzling is just to keep trying. And it sounds simple. And it's super hard in, like, actual practice, you know, to just keep doing the same things and growing. But that's how relationships are. They're hard work, but you got to do the work.
You got to do the work. And it shouldn't feel like too much work right off the bat. If it feels like a lot of work right off the bat, something's a little off. And if it's temporary, fine. But, like, if you find yourself putting in a ton of effort and you feel like it's hard, it shouldn't be that hard that early.
That's a great point. To that point, though, I think that that's why relationship starts to fizzle is because it wasn't hard work before.
Because
you're like, we're in our honeymoon phase and I just want to be around you all the time and I want to hear all your stories. And then a year down the line, or 2 years down the line, 3 years, It's like, oh, okay, all these things that came really natural to me when I was in this crazy honeymoon, like, oh, lovey-dovey, now it's a bit more like, oh, this is the reality of dating. I have to hear about your relationship with your brothers and how that has impacted your life. And, you know, before it was just making out in parks, you know.
Yeah, or like, I hear you tell the same fucking story about how stupid your boss is over and over and over, and I'm so tired of hearing it. Why are you telling me this stupid story? I don't want to hear it anymore. This is probably a complaint someone has about me rather than the other way around, but
That was mine, too. Goddamn brothers!
I think in the grand scheme of things, like, you know, you can put in more work and you can have good intentions and the person will match you, then it's great and it's worth it. And if they won't, then put your energy into someone who is going to appreciate it and want to do the work too.
Yeah.
And hopefully it won't feel like too much work.
Yeah.
I mean, at any point, a relationship is work.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's, relationships are
work. It's never going to be like easy breezy, but it shouldn't be so hard that it's super frustrating. If it is, something is wrong.
Yeah, I would agree. I think we're looking at it a lot from relationships, and relationships are clearly very broad, but the thing I'm thinking about that I'm sort of clueless about is like a marriage. So your point of view are the things that, because you are married.
I am.
You're the married one on the podcast.
I am the married one.
You're the like more interesting one, like in general. So I'm always like, you're the, oh yeah, you're that one too. So do the things that you need to do to keep a relationship from fizzling, are they also the same things that you need to do to keep a marriage from fizzling?
I would say it depends on what is the nature of your marriage. Like a marriage can fizzle because it can lose fire, but a marriage can also like grow in animosity, and those are two different things. Growing in animosity is not a good thing. That can also happen.
That seems
and
like
that also can happen if you're not doing enough work.
Yeah.
But I think fizzling, it's real easy to get into routine. Like anyone who's been in a long-term relationship knows, like it can be really easy. Like you eat all the same things, you go to the same restaurants, you do the same stuff, and it can get really boring. And your partner, you can take your partner for granted, and you can also like lose sight of like what are the things that you used to like to do.
Yeah.
And you know, the thing that's great is that it becomes harder and harder to surprise your partner with who you are, or just period, like they know you real well. It's very hard for you to surprise them.
Yeah.
But like that also makes surprises way more exciting. Mm-hmm. So I'd say that one thing you can do is, you know, it takes a lot more work to surprise someone, but it's also way more worth it because they really, like, they know how hard you had to work to do it. And they also, like the feeling of, like, I thought I knew you, but you surprised me is a really good feeling.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit harder, but it's worth it. And, like, I think also that you can get into a point where, like, you kind of just spend all your time together because you live in the same house. Mm-hmm. If that's where you're headed. And lots of married people tend to live in the same house, although not everyone, I guess. It's good to take a little space for yourself. Like, take care of yourself, do fun things. You don't have to do everything together. And then when you do choose to come together, it's a little more special.
Yeah.
So weirdly, spend less time together is sounds like strange advice for marriage, but like, being intentional with the together time and then also being intentional with time when you're not necessarily together to, like, do other things that fulfill you can be a good way to, like, keep yourself an interesting person.
That is, hey, I'm glad that I put you on the spot there.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I really like the idea of being intentional both in the time you spend together and the time that you spend apart.
Mm-hmm.
That's really, I really like that. You should write a blog.
Oh, I should. I mean, if you both want to, like, eat a bag of chips over the sink while kind of watching HGTV over your, out of the corner of your eye, like, if that's the best time you can spend together, then I'm not going to shit on it. But, like, maybe there's more fun stuff you guys can do together.
I feel personally attacked now.
I'm sorry.
You know how much HGTV I watch? In one of the earlier episodes, I was like, oh, my girlfriend watches HGTV, and she keeps giving me shit about it, because she's like, you watch just as much, if not more, and it's actually true.
I saw the Property Brothers in LaGuardia.
What?
Like, a year and a half ago.
Oh, man. You just see all, like, the random reality.
I have some pretty good celebrity sightings.
Yeah. Anyway. I, like, the only person I've seen, randomly, I was at an airport and I saw in the same TSA line the rapper Mace and Roger Stone Jr.
Together?
No, not together. That'd be so awkward. Yeah, because one guy's like, you know, I'm a rapper, and the other guy's like, I hate black people. So that'd be awkward.
Maybe it's like one of those like bunny movies where you hinge at the beginning, but at the end you go to yourself and each other.
I mean, Roger Stone is very much like Nick Nolte, and that he's gross.
Interesting. So yeah.
That's my, and that was like one of my top five worst celebrities. That was my most recent one.
That's pretty bad.
Actually. It was really bad. I liked Mace though, but he held up the TSA line. He like got fully dressed on the TSA line. It was such a dick move.
Did he like bring 100 things in his pockets all made of metal?
I think it was jewelry. Rapper jewelry.
But you know, that's the life.
I guess if you're like a mediocre semi-retired rapper, I want to just circle back to this point. I think that it is really the best summation that I've heard ever, and that you should be intentional with the time that you spend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just be a little more conscious.
The time that you spend together and the time you spend apart. That's, I think that overall is the key. Whenever I feel like anything, if I feel like distance, it's all about, you know, we might be spending time together, but it's not like time that we're actually enjoying together or like giving each other full attention. So, no, that's great.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Makes me think of that scene in Castaway when he's trying to leave the island and he's says to Wilson, he's like, let us not commit the sin of turning our backs on the clock. And then starts laughing. He's like, I know. Because all he has is time. Sometimes it feels like all you have is time, but life is full of all these moments, and then, you know, suddenly 10 years have gone by.
Yeah. That's awesome. All right. Well,
yeah.
Before we close, things we loved and or hated, or both.
One thing I loved, the cat feels strongly about this too, apparently. Is there's been like a boom of fireflies. Have you noticed this?
I have heard about it from people.
I was walking around
last
night and they were just everywhere and I just have never seen so many, but I thought maybe that I'm nuts because I haven't lived in New York that long, so maybe I'm like, maybe this is just a normal swing. But my neighbor was like, I've lived here 10 years, I've never seen this many fireflies. So yeah. Hooray for fireflies.
Yeah.
One came into my house and got very confused, and I had to help it get back outside.
Oh, it was looking for mates on the ground.
Well, tough luck. There are not any other firefly mates in this house, hopefully. I don't know.
I think male fireflies are the ones that fly. Female fireflies don't.
Oh, is that true?
You tell me.
I don't know. I'll just...
You're the doctor.
Yeah, but not of fireflies.
Oh, well. I just thought it was all things.
I got it.
All creatures.
All creatures.
PhD in all creatures.
That'd be a cool PhD.
That actually.
No, I don't know, but
PhD.
I could Google it later, I guess.
Yeah. The thing I loved, because I just binge watched it over 2 days, was the second season of Glow.
Oh.
It was really, really, really good. I think New York Times wrote a great article about it. I just loved it. I think that Alison Brie is very good in it. Like,
she's a gem.
She really is. I think she is like beyond wonderful in it.
She's really versatile, and I don't know. Everything I've seen her in has been great, and she is great.
Yeah. No, she was awesome. They touch on a lot of really, really cool themes. A lot of it is timely. They have like an episode about, I don't want to spoil it. It's a very like Me Too movement episode, which is like perfectly in tune with the time. Yeah, no, it's a great season. I would highly recommend it. You don't have to be a fan of wrestling to watch it. I think it's a great show. I think it's beautiful. And the music is, like, amazing. Like, every episode has the best music. So that's it. I loved it.
Very nice.
It took me 2 days to watch all, like, 13 episodes.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well done.
Thank you. It was a lot of effort. It was a team effort.
Good job.
I appreciate it. I think that's it. Thank you for your insight and wisdom.
Oh, thank you. Or watching season 2 of Glow.
It was really my pleasure.
Good.
All right. Well, thank you all for listening, and good luck out there. Bye.
Bye.